All right, it is the 7 o'clock hour. We got football beginning across Middle Tennessee and across the state of Tennessee. Fun Friday night for you. Week 9 of high school football headed your way tonight. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. We're going to have a fun night. A lot of great games. Not a lot of games, but a lot of great games happening tonight. We'll bring in Elijah Campbell here, Big Kenny behind the glass. And Elijah, we look at this game. We looked at this week weeks ago and like, all right, Week 8, Week 9, fall break, not a lot of games, and it'll all play itself out. And tonight we got some big games across the schedule. I'm going to a couple of them real quick, and then we're going to comment on these. Big games tonight up in Westmoreland. They take on East Robertson. Of course, Riverdale taking on Oakland. We've got Dixon County traveling to Smyrna. Big game for Smyrna tonight as well. Beach at Gallatin. Rockville at Blackman. Good Pastor, Davidson Academy. Some big games on the schedule tonight. And I guess we talked earlier. We look at the games. Obviously, Beach Gallatin's a big one, Elijah. But this East Robertson-Westmoreland game is one that doesn't get talked about enough, and we're going to do that tonight because that's a huge game in that region, and that's a game you had selected as kind of your game of the night too.
Yeah, my personal game of the night.
Right.
Westmoreland's a very interesting place. I love to talk about atmosphere, right? Like a lot of the cool stuff we've got to talk about this season over the course of these 9 weeks are unique atmospheres in high school football. And Westmoreland has one of those. It is very far off the beaten path. I remember going to a game in the fifth grade, York and Westmoreland, and we were about an hour and a half late. Missed the first half of the game because we tried to find the place. And this is back in the MapQuest era, mind you. So it's still possible to find it, but it took a while. Westmoreland's a little remote, but that gives them a little bit of an advantage, right? But this Westmoreland team is really, really good. They've gotten some huge wins this year. I remember they eliminated Clay County from the Elijah Campbell Undefeated Club in thrilling fashion back on September 23rd. They've had some dominating wins. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 shutouts this season. They even have a win against Portland, who is what? I don't know. 3 classifications ahead of them.
Right.
That's a pretty significant win. And Portland had to go to Westmoreland, and it was not an easy game. Portland Panthers are a good ball club. East Robertson this year having every bit as good of a year as well. And that's after they lost Taylor Groves, one of the best high school football players in the state last year, is now playing at Ole Miss. But East Robertson had that first loss to Macon County, 43-33 to start the season. And Macon County, I don't know, 7-1, Joe, pretty good team.
Yeah.
But since then, all they've done is win. They've demolished almost every other team in the region, and they're coming off a September 30th game against Watertown where they won 12-6. Watertown's getting better as the season's gone along, but Watertown has also historically owned that region. They've been really good in 1A, 2A, and have played a lot of those schools forever. But this is a year in which Watertown's down, Trousdale County's down. So it's the perfect storm for these two teams to kind of meet in what is essentially – I'll say essentially because it's not actually a region championship game,
but right,
it feels like a region championship game.
It does. I want to get your thoughts on this game as well. Tonight, Coffee County traveling to Cookeville. Who thought we would say tonight, if Coffee County wins this game, they win the Region 3 Class 6A. Coffee County, what a great surprise team. They beat Lebanon earlier this year. They should have no problem with Cookeville tonight. But Coffee County's a team, Elijah, that, you know, back 8-9 weeks ago, we're thinking, all right, this is Lebanon's division. Maybe Shelbyville will be behind him. But Coffee County's proved everybody wrong.
Exactly. And it's one of the better stories in the state. And I think – and, you know, I knew Coffee County was good when they beat Tullahoma. Tullahoma still, beginning of the year, they only returned one starter. So you can understand how in a localized rivalry game, that kind of makes more sense that was the result, right? But it really took until, I don't know, they gave Page a really good game. They only lost by 2 touchdowns to Page, and it was closer than that. But like, when they beat Lebanon, 27-23 was when I was like, oh, wow, not only if they might have clinched the region here,
yeah,
but they're for real. They're sitting at 5-2 right now, 3-0 in the region. And of course, like you said, they beat Cookeville tonight. Then that puts up 4-0 in the region. Lebanon still has one loss, which means even if they do somehow slip up, actually, that's their last region game. So, no, yeah, they would clinch the region tonight with a win. But I will say this, Cookeville hasn't been very good. They've had their struggles, and their only wins come against Warren County, at Warren County, and then, of course, against Livingston, who's lost 20 straight games. But I've seen this play out in the Cookeville-Coffee County history before, specifically my senior year of high school. Cookeville had a really good team, undefeated in the region. Coffee County was 3-0 in the region. but they were 3-6 going into the last week. 0-6 out of region, 3-0 in region. Cookeville was about, I don't know, 7-2 in the season and undefeated in the region. They go to Coffee County and Coffee County beats them. Wins the region at 4-6 overall, but they were 4-0 in the region. And going into that game, it was like, oh, well, Cookeville should win by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Kind of might have the same feeling tonight because Coffee County has to go on the road to a Cookeville team where we expect Coffee County to win by a couple touchdowns. So, pretty significant game. Obviously, Coffee County becomes region champs with the win, but don't want to overlook Cookeville here. They haven't been great this year, but you never know. Anything can happen in these kind of games.
On any given Friday night, I want to get your thoughts last night, too, as well. We had some games played last night. I'll run down the scores from last night. Creekwood beat Hillwood 31-3. We had Marshall County beat our friends at Glencliff 69-0. Mount Juliet beat Republic 52-0. Trousdale County beat White's Creek 20-16. And the game, to me, which is just – I had to triple-check this. I know you said you had to double-check this as well. Laverne last night beating Overton 33-8. That to me, Overton's playing fantastic. Laverne's having a rough year, and they just pound Overton. And I don't know what to think about high school football anymore. I love this high school football. Nobody saw this coming, Elijah.
Absolutely not. And what did Laverne do a couple weeks ago? Drop one to Dixon County, who was winless going into that game. And you got to be thinking, oh, well, you know, that's Laverne's season, right? Like that basically puts them out of any kind of contention here, but not quite. Laverne's season now just has a little bit of a new light because if McGavick slips up in the next couple of weeks, they might be able to steal that 4 spot. But Overton's got to be a quintessential example that, you know, it's a war of attrition. That's the team that we thought, and rightfully so, was one of the hottest teams in the mid-state, specifically in the metro area, right? I mean, they had 3 straight shutouts over Stratford, Dixon County, Maplewood. They destroy Northwest. They beat McGavick by 11 points, and they lose that really close game at Cane Ridge. But there was a hangover effect, and it sounds like there was a big hangover effect. That game was at home, too. Laverne beat them 33-8 at John Overton. It's a stunning result there, Joe, and it's not going to get easier for Overton. Even though they do play Antioch next, Antioch hasn't won a game yet, but they end the season with Smyrna. There's a really good chance they split that, and they were second place in the region going into last night.
Right.
If they lose to Smyrna and McGavick takes care of business, they can be fourth in having to play the best team in Region 5, which as of right now is the Beach Buccaneers. You'd rather be playing Hendersonville or Gallatin than you would Beach at this point in time, just based off records and strength of schedule and all that kind of stuff. But you'd much rather be in that position and playing that game at home than playing it on the road. And that's kind of what they're looking at right now.
Oh, it totally is. Before we go to the break, some scores that are popping in right now. Beach just scored up on Gallatin 7-0. Blackman is on top of Rockville 7-0. DCA scored early. They're on top of Mount Juliet Christian Academy 7-0. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a new first-timer coming on the show, Creekwood head football coach Houston Thiel, Elijah. And we've talked about Creekwood all year long. Mm-hmm. We've had coaches talk about how they've played Creekwood and, you know, and they barely win, but their team comes away like beaten up, like they got hit really hard. And we love to hear that, don't we?
It's a good established identity. Hard-nosed football, those are always the teams that you don't want to play. Maybe not because they're schematically different and better than everybody else or athletically different and better than everybody else, but when there's a team that's that tough, that doesn't go away, and that beats you up like that where you're feeling it for a week,
yeah,
you loathe having to see them on your schedule, and they've creeped their way into the playoff picture here. That's a really fun region, and that's become a really fun team over the course of the last couple weeks.
I totally agree with you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Creekwood football coach Houston Thiel. We got another, 4 hours and 45 minutes of great high school football coverage for tonight. Complete scoreboard tonight coming at the bottom of the hour. A lot of fun for you. Listen to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Quick scoreboard update for you. Beach is now up on Gallatin 14-0. We'll check in with Junior Riddle in a little bit. But first, We have a special guest who, when I told my co-host Elijah Campbell that we had Creekwood head football coach Houston Thiel coming on, he replied with a text that I cannot repeat on the radio. He was that excited about having the coach on right now. And we're now joined by Coach.
FCC friendly.
We're now joined by the head coach of Creekwood, Houston Thiel. Coach, how are you? And thank you for doing this.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Doing well.
It's going great. And Coach, I got to tell you, we've talked to some of the – I told you earlier in text that some of the coaches that have played you have just raved about your program and the job you're doing up there. And it seems like the season's kind of turning in your favor. Tell us about how things are going now and how proud you are of your football team.
Well, that means a lot. You know, anytime you have the respect of your opponents, you know, that kind of puts pride in your program. And, you know, glad you're doing things that others are taking notice of. But, yeah, certainly our season's kind of, you know, been a little bit more favorable toward us. Tough stretch there at the beginning of the year for us and in a really big region, Region 5, 4A, you know, got nine teams in it and spread all across the Middle Tennessee. And,
right.
You know, our front end's really loaded, you know, in region play when we've got to play with Marshall County, Pearl Cone, Tullahoma, you know. So once you get through that tough stretch, you know, some games that you know, a little bit more favorable toward us, and we've been able to take advantage of it.
We talked to Chris Hughes at Fairview. I know it's not a region game. He raved about your program and how we were very lucky to get a win that night against you. Take us back to 2 weeks. I know last time you beat Hillwood, but 2 weeks ago you beat Greenbrier. Greenbrier was coming off a roll, coach, feeling really good, and your defense played outstanding that game. You won 30-6. How proud were you of your team that night?
Yeah, that game was huge for us. Had a lot of playoff implications for us. You know, when we talk about our defense and we really can't talk about our team without kind of talking about our defense, averaging, giving up 10 points per game. And for high school football, that's a tough D. And that's kind of how we built our team, playing hard-nosed defense and always been known for physical ball. But especially proud of those guys that night. And the 6 points they gave up was actually a pick six that happened on the first play of the game that Greenbrier returned for a touchdown. So really, the defense gave up no points that night and had an interception for a touchdown and a blocked punt for a touchdown that night. So, yeah, that was a big night for us, especially in the region and kind of what we're wanting to do going forward.
Talking to Coach Houston Thiel right now from Creekwood. And, Coach, you mentioned that pick six against Greenbrier, and that being really the only touchdown you've given up since September 9th, since the Pearl Cone game. Since then, and you mentioned how front-loaded the schedule was, but since then, after going 1-3, you gave up 3 points to Tullahoma, no points to Montgomery Central, no points given up by the defense to Greenbrier, and 3 points against yeah. Hillwood last night. But what about your defense has kind of made them the way they are, and what kind of identity have you wanted to establish with them this season?
Well, it starts up front, man. We run a 3-4 defense, and when you're able to get pressure on the quarterback just using three guys, it allows you to do a lot of things in the back end. And our front guys are anchored by Austin Davis, Stion Andreas, and Marco Ortiz. Those three men have had a great season. Been fortunate enough that they've been able to stay healthy for the most part and be on the field. Obviously, that helps. And then we've had a lot of guys in that back end that's been able to make plays. Our Mike linebacker, Cy Lunsford, has done a great job of getting to the football, getting the defense set up. Secondary-wise, Alex Bradshaw had three interceptions last night against Hillwood. He had three interceptions the same against Tullahoma. So it's his second game this year with three interceptions. So, you know, it's kind of scattered all over the place. But, you know, in high school football, we feel like it starts up front. And you got to be able to stop the run and make teams put the ball in the air. And we've been able to do that.
We're talking to head football coach at Creekwood, Houston Thiel. And, Coach, let me ask you this. You start the season off 1-3, two of those losses in the region. You got to go to Tullahoma. It's a road game. They're coming off the state championship. Your team had every right to, like, you know what, we're tired and this is not – but they rallied. What did you tell the team in that game before the week before Tullahoma, week five, that spearheaded that? Because then you beat Tullahoma, you beat Montgomery Central, you beat Greenbrier, and you've given up 9 points in those three games. Do you remember what you told the guys?
Yeah, you know, I don't think a lot had to be said, honestly. You know, we got a team that's – we got a senior class of 20 guys that have played a lot of football for us. And, you know, had a tough stretch last year, but have been around winning football, you know. Going back to the 2020 season, you know, there's a 10-win team there that these guys were a part of. So they know what winning football looks like, you know. And, you know, had a tough stretch there to start the year, but they just kept going to work. And, you know, you just had to remind them about all the time that they put in. And that was a lot of lot of play left, a lot of games left, and you know, they come down to Tullahoma in an environment that it's tough to play in. It's a special place, and you know, you say that, I'm actually here tonight. Tullahoma and Lawrence County are playing tonight, and we got Lawrence County in a couple weeks, so made the ride down and just finished up one of these famous ribeye sandwiches that the Touchdown Club
nice.
Puts on. And just enjoying it. A little bit stressful or less stressful night for us, but you talk about Tullahoma, and that was a big win for us. First time I'd ever been down here. Really special place. I mean, it's what you kind of envision what Friday Night Lights looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic place there, Tullahoma. And, Coach, last one for me. I mean, you mentioned you're going to go see Lawrence County tonight, and I almost got distracted by that ribeye sandwich you mentioned. That sounds delicious.
Me too, when I walked in the gate.
All you got to do is smell it, and it ruins your train of thought. But, Coach, when you talk about this Lawrence County team, they're kind of hanging in there. They're right below you guys in the standings. Their game against Tullahoma tonight obviously is very significant because that can decide what the stakes are for them when you have to play them later on in the season too. But this league is just so competitive. But the school specifically, like Lawrence County, Tullahoma, and even Hillwood to a degree too, has been able to get some big wins. But what's it kind of like playing in this region where you have schools all over the mid-state and you have some really good talent there? It's going to make even finishing the season pretty difficult.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's a big region, obviously, but I think it's a very deep region. You know, I think for the most part, you know, minus a couple squads, you know, it's extremely competitive each Friday night. And if you don't bring your best, you know, there's a chance that, you know, you're not going to come out victorious. But I've enjoyed being in it, you know, because some places that, you know, I graduated from Creekwood in 06, so just kind of being around the program throughout these years, you know, getting to play some schools that, you know, historically that we haven't traveled to or played has been good. Getting to meet other coaches that are involved in this great sport and you know, across the middle Tennessee has been nice, but it's a competitive region. You know, I don't have anything but good things to say about it. Hard play, but at the end of the day, everybody's good sports about it, and you know, just want to play the game.
Love it. Coach Houston Thiel from Creekwood with us tonight. Coach, best of luck to you. Thank you for doing this. I know it's busy. You're down there scouting the team and everything, but we really appreciate you on the show, Coach. Thank you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. Go Redhawks.
There we go. Coach Houston Thiel tonight.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Game Blitz phone line brought to you by my good friend Elijah Campbell. Lance Mackey's on the phone. He's at the Davidson Academy. Good pastor game. Hey, Lance, how's it going?
What's up, Big Joe? Good to hear you. Glad you're back.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You're the only one, but thanks.
Party of one.
Yeah, I got a couple scoring updates for you.
Give it to us.
It's been a great one. Been a great one so far. Bears senior running back Simmons has rushed for a touchdown. He's got about 40 yards on the ground and just threw a double pass for another touchdown. It's 13-0 Bears. There's been a couple turnovers back and forth pretty much immediately, one after the other. But at the end of the day, we got a 13-0 lead here, and Cougars just punted it back to the Bears.
Wow, I like the atmosphere out there. That's a big game you're at, Lance, because there's a lot of a winner in this game gets the upper hand in making the region playoffs probably at that four seeds. This is a big deal tonight.
Oh, yeah, and you can feel it. The student section is popping off. Bands are going crazy. Walking up here, I mean, it's been the biggest tailgate I've seen so far this season at the different schools I've been to. It's definitely a scene here, and you can feel the energy right now.
Fantastic. Lance, thanks. Keep giving us updates, man. We appreciate you.
All right. Love you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Lance Mackey at the Davis Academy.
The
good
man.
Pastor game tonight. Elijah, real quick, back to Creekwood and head coach Houston Thiel. You talk about that. What's the stat again about that? They've not given up a touchdown since September the 9th. Is that correct?
Yes, September the 9th against Pearl Cone. Pearl Cone beat them 35-7. They turned that loss into a 3-point defensive output, 0 against Montgomery Central, 6 against Greenbrier, but it was a pick 6, so the defense didn't give it up, and then 3 against Hillwood. They have not given up a touchdown in over a month.
I mean, you know, and you talk about, we've seen this long enough high school football. I mean, if your defense can just pound and pound away and put that mental kind of stake in the other team, they're not going to go anywhere. So that's what happens there. And so that is it's good to hear. I mean, what the team is doing, you know, Coach Hughes at Fairview talked about it in week 2. I was like, my God, we've probably never been hit that hard by a team. We barely win. So I took a little note that night, and we've just been commented throughout the year about Creekwood. And then just how they've turned the corner there. And it's good to see a football team, Elijah, in the mix that we don't get to talk about a lot.
It is, yeah, especially a team that really learned something from the beginning of the year, right? Like Coach said, they had a front-loaded schedule. They had to start off against Dickson County, a school in a higher classification than them. Fairview, a really good Fairview team. Obviously, Coach Hughes runs an incredible program there. And then Marshall County, who was undefeated for a lot of the season, they're still only sitting at 7-1. They're still fantastic. They only lost that game by 3 points at home. They gave Marshall County everything they can handle. Pearl Cone is on a revenge tour, so Pearl Cone did what they did, but they bounced back. I mean, they bounced back from going 1-3 and said, you know what, let's just not give up any more touchdowns. We might not lose any more games. And that's exactly what they've done. And here's the thing to look for, too, Joe. I love to look at potential playoff matchups.
Right.
If they're able, if Greenbrier slips up and they're able to leapfrog them, they have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
So all Greenbrier has to do is lose one more region game,
right,
which is very possible. If they lose one more region game, that gives them at least the 3 seed. They'd still have to go on the road in West Tennessee, but the Region 6 does not impress me a ton. They're more than likely playing Hardin County or Lexington. Don't love either of those teams. I honestly think Creekwood beats either Lexington or Hardin County, whoever gets that 2 spot. I still think they run the table here and even win a game in the playoffs, and that would be a fantastic story for that school, especially after the start they had.
I love, you know, I'm laughing at revenge tour because to me, I immediately go back to a 14-year-old kid in the neighborhood just throwing an egg at your door, then go 4 houses down and throw eggs. That's my revenge tour. Just throw eggs at doors and have fun that way. I love that. All right, we'll take a break with that. We got a complete scoreboard update for you. We've got one young man running back here in Middle Tennessee that might set a record tonight. He's in the first quarter, got a couple touchdowns. It's not even halfway through there. So we'll tell you who that is. All the scores for you. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by our good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back in here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Elijah Campbell, myself, and Big Kenny behind the glass, making everything go perfect tonight. We cannot do that without Kenny Adams, so thank you, my brother, for everything you do for this show. All right, so it's bottom of the hour. You know what time it is, my friends? It's scoreboard time.
First time.
All right, here we go. Big games tonight on the schedule. Blackman leads Rockville 7-0. Cannon County over Community 7-0. Coffee County with a field goal up on Cookville 3-0. Wayne County over Cornersville 7-0. Fayetteville leads Red Bank 14-0 in the Battle of the Unbeatens. Beach over Gallatin early 14-0. Yeah. Smith County over Jackson County 21-0. Lincoln County, Elijah. Stan Harrison's happy. They lead Columbia. Yeah, lead Columbia 8-0 right now. DCA, there's still 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. They lead Mount Juliet Christian Academy 28-0. Ashton Jones already has 2 touchdowns and 50 yards on 2 carries. That should tell you how that game's going tonight for them. Perry County over Hollow Rock, Brewston 8-0. Oakland now leads Riverdale 21-0. That game is still in the first quarter. My goodness, and they're on a mission tonight. It looks like Oakland is. Franklin County over Spring Hill 14-0. East Robertson, Elijah, up over Westmoreland 7-0. In games last night, they were complete. Creekwood 31, Hillwood 3. Marshall County 69, Glencliff 0. Mount Juliet 52, Republic nothing. Trousdale County 20, White Creek 16. Laverne 33, Overton 8. And 8:15, Laverne head football coach Mike Woodward is going to join us on the show and talk about their big win last night. So not a lot of games. We're still in fall break, but a lot of things that are happening tonight that's going on. Another real quick update. Ashton Jones has scored again. It's 35-0. He's got 3 touchdowns. DCA leads Mount Juliet Christian. There's 4 minutes to go in the first quarter. So there's your running clock of the night that's happening with all that. All right, Elijah, run down the unbeaten teams because we got Fayetteville taking on Red Bank. You said both those are unbeaten. There's not a lot of teams left unbeaten. As you know, it's week 9 of high school football, but there's still some teams that are unbeaten out there for us.
There is, yeah. Right now, the club is getting a whole lot thinner, right? Like, it's about 1 or 2 a.m. Most of the people have gone home, but the few that are still staying here are raging pretty good. And then one of those two teams are going to be kicked out of the Elijah Campbell Defeated Club after tonight. But going into tonight, only 18 total teams remain undefeated in the state. Only 6 of those 18 are in Middle Tennessee. None of those teams are in 6A. 6A has no more undefeated teams left. In 5A, you still have Daniel Boone, Knoxville West, Nolensville, Munford. Nolensville, the only Middle Tennessee school in there. In 4A, you have Greenville, Anderson County, Red Bank, Haywood, Red Bank at Fayetteville tonight. No mid-state teams in 4A undefeated. In 3A, the only undefeated team that remains is East Nashville. They are on a bye. The Fighting Kenny Adams is still in the club. In 2A, two teams remain, Chattanooga Tyner and Fairleigh. And then in 1A, we only have three, Fayetteville, McKenzie, and Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering. Fayetteville, 1A, against a 4A Red Bank team. They're up 14-0. That's a pretty impressive showing for Fayetteville tonight. I think they could be state-bound, for being honest here. Friendship Christian in Division 2 1A, the only undefeated team remaining there. They're at 5-2 East Hamilton tonight. That could be a tricky game. Friendship Christian has dominated every game they've played. This might be the toughest test they've had to face. East Hamilton, solid, solid team. I believe they are 4A. They are 4A. They're actually in the same region as Red Bank. They're second in that region. So that'd be a tough game for them. Division 2, 2A, two teams remain. That's Knox Webb and Lipscomb Academy. And Lipscomb Academy is playing the Pure Youth Alliance, I think it is. Tonight,
I didn't even write that game down.
Yeah, that one might be.
Yeah,
I can't confirm it's a running clock right now. I can only assume, and I'm assuming correctly. Division 2, 3A, only one team remains, and that is NBA. They are on a bye. So, six teams in the mid state still undefeated, 18 in the entire state. That number will go down tonight because of Fayetteville and Red Bank. So
yeah, I love it.
That's
man.
What we got so far with a couple weeks left.
I love your club. Let's go back to the Game Blitz Boat Line, brought to you by our good friend Elijah Campbell. Lance Mackey's on. He's at Davidson Academy. Good pastor. What's the update, Lance?
Game 4.
We just had a 7-yard touchdown rush from running back Cortland Simmons. That's his second on the ground today. Plus, he has one in the air. It is 20-0, Davidson Academy. Good pastor's got the ball, looking for their first, they've ran seven plays, and they've had 2 3-and-outs and 1 interception. So hoping to keep the ball a little bit longer here and start getting in a rhythm here on offense.
Yeah, exactly. Lance, love it, man. Thanks for the update, brother. We'll talk to you in the next scoring update.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right. Elijah, 20-0, Davidson Academy with a lot on the line tonight. And it looks like they've got – hey, we got Junior Riddle. He's calling in from the Beach Galta game on the phone line, brought to you by Elijah Campbell. Junie, what's the score, brother?
Well, the first quarter just ended, and the score is 14-0, Beach. But, hey, the score doesn't tell the whole story. There's a lot of entertaining headlines going on here. The opening drive went to Beach. They kind of marched down and ran the ball with ease and get that opening touchdown to go up 7-0. After a 3-and-out for Gallatin, they blocked the punt, and it set Beach up inside the Gallatin 5, and they scored easily, though. Since then, Gallatin has showed some grit on defense and has stepped up. But one of the biggest plays of the game was senior quarterback number 11, Luke Cook, got hit out of bounds. And remember, I said earlier that there is no track on this field. There is a big wall, and he got shoved into that wall and was down for a long time. That kind of rallied the crowd for the Gallatin, for the home team here. And there's a change of momentum. Right now they put in a freshman quarterback, Riley Ridding. He comes in and completes 2 out of 3 of his first passes. More completed passes, they said, in the last 3 games. This kid's only 5'8". I mean, he does not look that big out there, but he is coming up in here, and he's stepping up for a young freshman trying to make his mark at the varsity level.
That is amazing. So the Big Mo now has gone to the Gallatin side, even though they're down 14-0?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying right now is that the defense has stepped up. They were all sitting there watching their senior quarterback on the ground. I think it kind of infuriated the team. It lit a fire under them. They're playing with a little bit more edge and chippiness. There is no love lost between these two teams. First quarter, 4 personal fouls. 4.
Oh.
A lot of late hits, a lot of chippiness. These two teams just simply don't like each other.
Oh, my goodness. What is the Elijah and I love to ask about the atmosphere, and you talked earlier about that. I got to think that crowd's going crazy right now.
The crowd is going crazy. It's not a full packed house, but then again, this stadium is a lot bigger than most high school stadiums. Uh-oh, big pass, big pass. Oh, did he get in? Incomplete on that one. The young freshman about threw a 30-yard pass to set up Gallatin in the 10, but barely out of bounds. We all thought he was in there. That would have been a huge play. But, yeah, I mean, the crowd isn't filled, but very energetic. A lot of fans are getting up. It's really, really loud. Only probably about half capacity here. But, again, like I said, the size has something to do with that. If this was at a normal high school stadium, you would probably think of it as more of a filled and packed house.
Hey, are you in the up in the press box?
I sure am.
Boss man. They get pizza up there for they should have pizza up there for tonight, did they?
They do not have pizza. They have something a little bit better, and it's my favorite sub place. It's Jersey Mike's.
It's all about the food, man.
That's a win.
We got some options up here in the press box.
You're a good man, Junie. Thanks for the update. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys.
I love that.
Thanks, Junie.
Great report always from Junie. Gives us right there. But four personal fouls. It's a little concerning there, Elijah, in the first quarter.
Oh, that is. And when we talked about this game earlier, Joe, I mean, Beach has a fantastic offense, and they don't mind winning in the track meets, right? They've won a couple of games in the upper 20s, a little bit in the 30s, and Gallatin, their game plan to winning this is kind of like the Allied Powers. They're one in the trenches here, and I think whenever you get down two scores, you can't really slow the game down like that. You almost have to kind of air it out a little bit, and they're almost having to play with a hand behind their back now with a backup quarterback, a freshman backup quarterback, coming into the game right now. Not saying it's over, but it's really tough. It's going to be really tough to see them come back, especially just with the way Beach plays and as dominant as they've been for most of the season. Gallatin's going to have to go to plan B here really quickly and be able to formulate a strategy to get back in.
Have you been binge-watching anything on the History Channel? Because you've dropped a lot of military knowledge tonight.
That's just like the daily Elijah Campbell experience. I mean, that's my favorite. I took an AP European history class, and that's the only thing that's ever resonated with me in my scholastic career. I remember nothing else. I can't tell you anything else, but I can drop some interesting and very, very obscure European history references.
We love it, man. We love it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. This hour we're joined by Macon County Head Football Coach Kyle Shoulders will join us. Pack show, coaches, reporters, everything we got for you tonight. Stick here till midnight. We got it covered for you. It's a lot of fun. Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny, and myself will carry you till midnight here on the Game Blitz. Brought to you by good friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. Right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy. And one of the pleasures this year we've had on the show with Elijah and myself is getting to know a lot of these coaches with football teams that typically haven't, you know, big, huge powerhouses, but are having great years. And one of those schools is Macon County right now. Let's bring in the head football coach, Kyle Shoulders, who joins us tonight. Coach, thank you for joining us on a Friday night. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm glad to be back on. You know, we went 6 weeks there in a row pretty much where we were speaking with each other, and we dropped that one against Upperman, and I think that was what made that loss hurt so bad. We didn't get to hear from you guys that night. So back at home, man. That was kind of our motivation last week against Stone, was just trying to get back on the radio with you guys.
I love it.
I love it.
We have made a we've made a note not to call coaches when they lose, because years ago we had Brian Rector, who's the head coach at Ryan, he was another school then. He's like, I want to come on, and they lost a tough game. I was like, oh boy, and it was fantastic radio. He just went off on everybody, and I was like, man. So it's always like, nah, I don't want to bug you when you lost. But anyway, congratulations, you get back, huge win last week. You get a fall break and everything. Tell me about the win last week, because that win by point, and to get back on the right side of things, what a great job by your team, Coach.
Yeah, it was. It was a great team effort. You know, we felt like our reputation took a shot the week before against Upperman, and we felt like we needed to go out and prove ourselves again. And like you said, a great team effort. Everybody contributed from the top of the roster to the bottom, and a very unorthodox win for us, just from the ways in which we were able to put points on the board in multiple ways through the run game, through the air, and two in the special teams game. So very much a group effort and extremely proud of our guys.
And now, Coach, all you do is take care of business in 2 weeks against Cumberland County, and you win the region. How much was the region, winning the region, talked about in preseason? Was that a goal, or was this like, hey, let's just do one game at a time? But did you talk about winning the region?
No, you know, we've talked about the region standing some throughout the course of the season. Preseason, not so much. You know, we got to where our program was focusing on week by week, you know, and that was a goal of ours, to focus on this week, let's take care of business, and then next week we'll focus on the next week. And we got pretty good at that. So we started trying to narrow our focus down, and then it got to trying to focus day by day, you know, not just week by week, but we're going day by day, whether it's a Monday, Tuesday, or Friday, whatever the case may be, try to be the best that we can be day by day. And for the last week or so, ever since that Upperman loss, you know, it's kind of been a new focus of ours and trying to narrow that thing down by play by play, you know, whether it's a practice play or a walkthrough or a film that we're watching a particular play or a play on Friday night, and just really trying to zone in and narrow that focus play by play and not get caught up in the big picture of a region championship or the scoreboard or what lies ahead.
Talking to Coach Kyle Shoulders from Macon County right now. Coach from Macon County and part-time Game Blitz contributor as well, because he's been on with us so much. His team's had a lot of success this season. And, Coach, I look at the region. You talk about your team looking at the region standings, but you can't help but notice just how improved it's been. It's not just Upperman running the table this year and dominating now. Obviously, they still have a chance to win the region, but it's not going to be – real easy, because they have to play DeKalb County tonight. And right now, as of this very second, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 teams with only one loss in the region. And seemingly you've all just beaten each other. But with the competitiveness of the football teams, with as interwoven culturally as these schools are together, because these schools are old, man. They've played each other for a long time. These communities are very familiar with each other. How special has it been for this season specifically to have this group of schools all being as good as they have been?
You know, it's not only great for Macon County or great for DeKalb and Upperman and Stone. It's great for high school football, in my opinion. You know, these venues that you're visiting to watch an Upperman and Macon game or a DeKalb and Stone game, whatever it is – got a lot of history behind them, and it is very good locations to watch high school football and really what high school football is about. And you look at each one of those rosters, all of which have got some extremely special players, very talented players who make that region as tough as it is. And I think last year in the playoffs primarily that our region really made some noise and kind of set the table for this year as being a strong year for our region, with three of our four teams last year entering the playoffs came away with wins in the first round. So the region has grown. It's got great players, but a lot of these teams that we're playing as well have got great coaching, great administrators, and just great school environment. And I think it takes all of those to have a successful program. And all these programs have got that going for them, I feel like.
Fantastic. Talking to Macon County football coach Kyle Shoulders. Elijah?
Yeah, and Coach, one more thing, too, for me. Looking back on your schedule, your non-region slate was really good, too. And the two wins against East Robertson and Westmoreland to start the year look more significant now, because those teams are having fantastic seasons. They're playing tonight in what's basically a region championship game for them. But what are those programs like? What do those teams do so well to kind of get them to kind of where they are this season?
Well, I think what makes it so difficult for us playing them is something about it. It's kind of about what we talk about our guys, how great it is to play at Macon. For one, we've got each and every week we've either got a great region opponent that we're having to get up for, or our non-region opponents are huge rivals that we have to play. So each week for us, we're having to get up because we're getting everybody's best, because we're playing for a region championship this week, or we're playing the likes of a Westmoreland, East Robertson, Portland, Trousdale, Smith County, one of those guys that all somewhat border our county. And you know, it's kind of like a Super Bowl night when those programs get to play each other. So, you know, those programs are wealthy in tradition as well, and the history with them and Macon County makes those games really special just to be a part of.
Talking to Macon County football coach Kyle Shoulders. And Coach, you got two games left. You got one region, one non-region. Your non-region game's next week. How important is it to tell the guys, all right, we got Cumberland County to finish out the season. I think that's correct. To finish out the season and Cumberland County High School, correct. But we got Smith County. How, you know, and you want to win every game. How do you tell the guys, all right, let's just focus on Smith County tonight or this week, and then we'll worry about Cumberland County next week? Because if it's me, I'm thinking, all right, we got Cumberland County, win the region, all this stuff, and next thing you know, you lose two games. How do you keep the guys focused on what's in front of them?
Well, I think this year is special in the fact that, you know, it's easy to do that because next week's game against a non-region opponent in Smith County could very well determine where we finish in the region. If some certain things happen tonight with DeKalb and Upperman, and then what may happen, in the last week of the season with Stone and DeKalb, it could force a three-way tie where non-region games come into play, your overall record. And, you know, right now you've got DeKalb sitting, as of tonight, sitting with one loss only to us, and you've got, you've got Stone sitting with one loss only to us, and you've got Upperman sitting with two losses. So, you know, depending on what happens tonight, what happens the last week of the season, that game against Smith County could very well be the biggest game for us all year.
Amazing. Are you at a game right now, Coach?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually at the DeKalb and Upperman game.
Well, give us a score real quick.
I tell you, there's about 50 seconds to go in the half. It's 7-7. Both teams have turned the football over multiple times. They've kind of been swapping blows back and forth. Played some really good defense up to this point, which is what both programs are kind of known for doing. But two really good programs going after it, and it's all tied up with 43 seconds to go.
You are now, Coach, officially a Game Blitz reporter, and here's the deal.
Welcome to the crew.
It comes with a lot of pride, a lot of prestige, but no money. Okay. Is that okay?
That's perfect. That sounds kind of like my coaching gig.
Exactly. Hey, real quick before I let you go, my brother lives in Macon County off Ferguson Road. You know where that is?
Yes, I do. Ferguson Hill Road. Matter of fact, my brother lives on Ferguson Hill Road.
It's all family now. My mother's side of the family, they're all from Macon County, so I got a vested interest in this program, Coach.
Yes, sir. I hope we can continue to make you and others proud, I hope.
I love it. Coach, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week after you knock off Smith County, all right?
Yes, sir. I hope so. If you get a chance, y'all come see us, okay?
We'll do, Coach. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
All right, Coach Kyle Thanks, Shoulders Coach. At Macon County. And Elijah, when we talked before the season started, we talked about really focusing a lot, not only on the teams in Middle Tennessee, like in Nashville area, but these coaches, these programs. You're from the Upper Cumberland. You know, we all have high school football. To get coaches like that on the show and having great years, I mean, I got goosebumps. I know it's weird and stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I love hearing coaches who are having great seasons with these kids and making memories. I love it, man.
Oh, I love it. I see what you do there, making memories. I see the pun, the unintentional pun there. my favorite thing about like these schools, Joe, is that they don't get as much of the attention, and they're smaller towns, a little further away from Nashville. But I'm telling you, growing up in that region, DeKalb County, Upperman, Macon County, even Cumberland County and Livingston, like those schools, and Stone's newer. I think they're built in like 2005 or 6, so they're a little newer. But those other county schools have been there forever. They've been playing each other in football forever. Those communities are very familiar with each other. So it's one of those things too, where a lot of, you know, high school football now, there's a lot of newer schools, especially around our area, but you don't get as many of those hateful older rivalries, so to speak. And when you get into DeKalb County and Smith County playing, even that's not a region game anymore, those communities show out for that. And these communities in the Upper Cumberland do a really good job of supporting their schools. And when they're all good like they are right now, I mean, Macon County, Upperman, DeKalb, Stone, or none of those teams are separated by more than 7 points realistically, and it's made for fantastic football. This season, it's been really special to watch them all be that competitive.
I totally agree with you, and I'm getting an update here real quick before we go. I'm getting a text here. Ashton Jones from DCA Football, Elijah. DCA's beat Mount Juliet Christian 48-0. There's 5 minutes to go in the first half. He's got 5 touchdowns, 3 rushing, 1 catch, and 1 interception return. And DCA is rolling over. Ashton Jones is a heck of a running back, heck of a player. And that's
one person?
That's one person tonight. He's got five touchdowns in the first quarter and a half that's going on right now. So, all right. So, top of the hour's coming up next. Got 4 more hours. Hey, 8:15, Laverne head football coach Mike Woodard is going to join us. They got a huge win last night over Overton that nobody saw. In fact, this win was so big.
Upset win.
Yeah, that Elijah and I, we had to double, triple check. It's no slight at Laverne. Just to triple check that we saw that score correctly. So Coach Woodard's going to join us in. A lot of fun. We got 4 more hours, plus scoreboard update coming to you at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game.